You know, there are passages that when you are reading in God's word, you say to yourself, you know, what am I going to say? One of those, if you were here with us in Sunday school, was Judges and chapter 19, which is a very sort of dark passage. But there are also these passages that God, in his mercy, he has given to us, that once you read, you sort of are looking forward to preaching on them or teaching on them. And there's no passage better in that regard than the passage that we are dealing with this morning. And I would like to call your attention to Luke and chapter 8. And we read beginning at verse 4, and we end our reading at verse 10. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4, and then we end our reading at verse 10. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from one town after another, he spoke to them in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled on, and the wild birds devoured it. Other seed fell on rock, and when it came up, it withered because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and they grew up with it and choked it. But other seed fell on good soil and grew, and it produced 100 times as much grain. And as he said this, he called out, the one who has ears to hear had better listen. Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, you have been given the opportunity to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that although they see, they do not see. And although they hear, they may not understand. This is probably one of the most well-known parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the context of the gospel according to Luke, this could be, I think, the third or the fourth parable. We find one parable, I think it is in chapter 5, and there's one, I think, in chapter 7. And there could be another one that I have missed out there. But this is like the fourth one in chapter 8. But of all the parables that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, this is probably one of the most well-known parables. And it's basically where the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his word to the people, and he is using illustrations of things that they are familiar with. As you well know, that in that day, the world economy revolved around the agrarian system of economy. So everybody would be aware or would know something about this. That people would go out to plant seed, and they would go out and broadcast the seed by casting out the seed into the fields. And as you know, in Israel, people had their own fields, and those fields were bordered by well-worn and beaten paths as the borders of each path, of each field. But as the farmers, as the individuals would go and throw out those seeds, obviously the seeds would also fall in the paths. And as he says in the parable, the birds of the air or human beings who would be walking on that path would tread onto those seeds. So this was a very well-known picture. It's a very well-known illustration, if you like, that the Lord Jesus Christ employed in order to preach the gospel. So as you notice that in this particular little story that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving, there is the sower who is sowing the seed, and there is the seed that is being sown, and then there is the soil in which the seed is being sown. Those are the three images in which or on which this whole story and illustration hangs. The sower, the seed, and the field, or the soil. And from the story itself, as you read it, you notice that the Lord Jesus Christ means to tell us or to imply that there is nothing wrong with the sower, the one who is sowing the seed. And secondly, that there is nothing wrong with the seed that is being sown, that everything seems to hinge on the type of soil in which the seed is sown. And that is what he intends to teach the people. Now, for that reason, I think that, you know, if you sort of read this passage and you consult many commentaries, if you have access to them, you will find that some people have decided to call this the parable of the soils, because that's the main thing in that little story, in that little parable. It's the soil is what makes the difference. It's not the sower, it's not the seed, it's the soil in which the seed is cast that makes the difference. So this is a very wonderful story, a very simple story that the Lord Jesus Christ is using. He's using this device of a story. As you remember, we learnt in Sunday school, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. That's what a parable is, that the Lord Jesus Christ is employing here to teach the disciples. Now, I do want to mention that although up to this point, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel according to Luke has used parables already on a number of occasions, it seems that from this point on, he begins to employ this method of teaching, of using a parable, much more than he has done thus far. There are parables here, but right now it looks like he is going to be using this parable more and more. So if you will, for instance, refer back to the passage that Brother Chris read for us in Matthew and chapter 13, and if you go down to about, we ended about verse 23, it goes down to verse, I think, is it 34? Let me just check there, where it says, he spoke nothing, verse 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. So this appears like a watershed moment in which the Lord, in his earthly ministry as an itinerant preacher, begins more and more to employ this method of speaking to people, that is, to use the parables. So that's very interesting, and we need to bear that in mind. Now, what is interesting is that when the Lord Jesus Christ gives this parable, if you notice there, coming down to verse 8, at the end he says, others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop, 100-fold. And when he said these things, then he makes that wonderful statement, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It's a statement of fact, that he is emphasizing that, if you really are interested in this matter, you really need to pay attention. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it says here in the New English Translation, "The one who has ears to hear had better listen." So he's really basically saying, look, I want you to pay attention to this. You need to apply this to yourself. You need to have a lot of care as you approach this word. It's very interesting then that the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples and the other multitudes that were gathered, he is using this device of a parable. Now, generally speaking, over the years, Christians have taught that, and I think that you probably may have heard it yourself, that the Lord Jesus Christ was using parables in order to make it easy for us to understand his message or the gospel that he's teaching. He is trying to use these earthly illustrations that we are familiar with in order for us to grasp the central theme of his preaching, of his message. And there are many books that have been written about that. Or those individuals who have opportunity to be trained in a seminary, in a Bible school, that this is one of the things that they will teach them, that you need to speak in terms that your people are familiar with, use illustrations that they're familiar with in order to bring home the central message of the gospel. Now, that might be true. Unfortunately for us, I don't know whether I should say those words, or fortunately for us, the Lord Jesus Christ himself does give us a reason why he was using parables. He's using this parable, and the disciples come to him in verse 9. His disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And then before he explains to them what the parable means, he says to them why he's using parables. He says, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables," or it is in parables, "so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." And what the Lord Jesus Christ basically is saying to us in that passage is this, that he is using parables as a way to make it difficult for some people to hear his message. While at the same time, he says to his disciples, "I am using these parables to make it easy for you to understand the message." And then he gives that very wonderful benediction to them. He says, "To you, God has given the gift for you to understand the mysteries of God. God has given you the gift to appreciate what he is doing or what he is saying. In other words, understanding the message of the gospel, believing the message of the gospel, is a gift from God. The message of the gospel is nothing that you will understand because you are intelligent. It's nothing to understand. You can understand naturally. It is understood because God goes out of his way to favor you in order for you to understand his message. Saving knowledge, knowledge that leads to faith in Jesus Christ and repentance, comes as a gift from God to sinners like you and me. And so here, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, he is using these parables because it is God's way to execute his judgment upon these Jewish people. And then he quotes from the Old Testament passage of Isaiah, and the passage that we have read in Isaiah chapter 6. You recall Isaiah had this glorious vision. And in that vision, God revealed himself to Isaiah. And in revealing himself to Isaiah, he cleansed him from his sin. And then he commissioned him, sending him to be a preacher amongst God's people. And yet as he sends him as a messenger, as a preacher, as a prophet amongst his people, he then warns him that yes, you're going to speak to them, but this is what is going to happen. They will hear, but they will not hear. They will see, but they will not see. They will not understand. In other words, God is bringing his judgment upon his people, a spiritual judgment, a judgment where he is withholding from them the ability to understand spiritual things, so that even when they hear Isaiah speak the message, Isaiah might seek to be as plain as he can be, to be as direct as he can be, to be as pointed as he can be in his preaching. But because of their blindness, that God has in fact caused to fall upon them, although they are exposed to such a blessing, they will not hear. And obviously, Isaiah is very sad. And in his sadness, he asked the Lord, how long is that going to last? And he says, until they are all destroyed and they go into captivity. And yet, he says to him, a tenth of them will remain. In other words, a remnant will be preserved. And only that remnant will hear your message and believe the message and embrace the message and walk in the ways of Almighty God. That is the passage that the Lord Jesus Christ actually quotes, and then he is applying it to all these people who are listening to him as he's preaching the gospel. He says, this is the reason why I'm speaking in parables. It is because judgment has come upon these people. So that here is the very Son of God, God himself, who has come in the flesh, and he is speaking plainly the message from Jehovah, the message from God to these who are the chosen people of God. And yet what happens is that the majority of them reject that message. The majority of them are in fact offended by that message. They are so offended that they begin to plot to get rid of this messenger and to kill this messenger. And that is why it is such a glorious blessing when the Lord Jesus turns to the disciples and he says to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, bear in mind as well that when the Lord Jesus Christ gives this particular parable, the context in which he gives this parable is religious people. People who are exposed on a regular basis to hearing from God. People to whom God has sent prophets after prophets. People who listen to rabbis. People who listen to the law every Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus Christ at this point does not have atheists in mind. All the context here points to people like you and me who are on a regular basis listen to the word of God preached. And it is to people like that that he says, to you it has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, we had read in Matthew and chapter 13. If you keep your finger on Luke 8, I want you to turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, which is basically an emphasis of that point that we find in Luke 8 and verse 10. So Matthew 11, and read with me from verse 25. Once again, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking there, he says that that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so far, for so it seemed good in your sight. And then listen to that statement that he makes. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. There it is, beloved brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, you are truly blessed if God in his sovereignty has granted you saving knowledge. You are truly blessed if God, out of the teeming masses of sinful human beings on this earth, that he has come to you, that he has given you light, he has given you understanding to receive his only begotten Son as the Savior of sinners, you are truly blessed. Because that is a gift from God. God has truly favored you. elsewhere, he says to his disciples, the things that you see, the things that you believe, that the prophets had longed to understand, had longed to get an insight into these things, but they were not able to do that. God, in these times, in these last days, has favored you, that you have insight into these mysteries. You have insight into the things of God. You have saving knowledge from God. So, yes, while it is true that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, it is also true the parable is given in order that some will may not see. They will see but not see. They will hear but not hear. It is God's way of concealing that message from them. And he does it out of judgment. Yes, there are physical judgments from God, and there are also spiritual judgments. Do you recall how in the Old Testament he speaks of Pharaoh, and he says of him that God hardened his heart, so that when he heard again and again from Moses, "Let my people go. This is what the God of Israel has said. Let my people go." He said he hardened his heart, and Pharaoh refused that word. And we are being told here that there is a holy discrimination that the Lord Jesus Christ is exercising towards all those who hear his gospel, his message, that as he speaks his message, there are some to whom he grants saving knowledge, and there are others whose hearts are closed. So yes, it's a simple story, earthly story, made to help us to understand. But it's a double-edged sword. At the same time, it's a story that makes it difficult, that conceals, that blinds those who do not believe. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. But also, you can notice that this same truth is illustrated by the parable itself. Because in the parable itself, there are four types of soil that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about. And in only one type of soil is the seed fruitful. In the three types, the seed does not germinate, or it proves unfruitful. In other words, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ elsewhere has said. He put it in other words, he says, it's the narrow road to life is narrow, and there are few who find it. There are few who find it. That's the truth about the gospel. Even amongst the people who are religious, amongst the people who go to church and frequent a church every Sunday, he says not all are truly converted. what determines the fruitfulness of that seed that's planted is the type of soil. And on three occasions, the three types of soil, it will find, it will not be successful. In only one is it successful. Now, that should tell us something. Beloved friends, it should tell us what the Bible has, in fact, from the Old Testament, been seeking to inculcate into our hearts. And that's the importance of your own heart. That God looks at the heart. That what matters is what your heart responds to His word. That is what is going to count at the end of the day. It is good that you listen, but at the end of the day, your heart's response to the word of God is what is going to stand you in good stead. But that also tells us how desperate we must seek God. That God might not only send the message, but it must be our desperate prayer. With sending the message to us, dear Lord, give us a heart that will receive that word. Because left to ourselves, we will be like the stony ground here. Or we'll be the rocky ground here. Or we'll be the ground where there's thorns and thistles that is going to choke the word. And so we need to cry out to God, do not only send the preacher, do not only send the message, be gracious to prepare our hearts, those hearts that will receive and embrace the word as it truly is the very word of God. We are at the mercy of Almighty God. And only He can transform that heart. Only He can change, remove that heart of stone and give that heart of flesh, that heart that will long, hunger, and thirst after righteousness. That heart that wants to embrace the word of God, that loves the Lord Jesus, that cares about His word. We see an example of it in verse 9 with the disciples. After they heard the parable, in verse 9 we are told His disciples asked Him, please, what does that parable mean? That tells you their heart were concerned. Their heart cared. They were not just casual listeners. When they heard, they wanted to understand what it means. And is that the way your heart is this morning? Does your heart care about God's word? Or, for you, this is your Sunday ritual. You come to church every Sunday. And therefore, you must come today. Or is there a burning desire within you? Lord, speak to me, that I might know your word. Let your word find room in my heart. Your word transform me. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Is there a care there? Are you concerned about God's word? Because you see, the problem with many of us is that because we've been doing this for such a long time, it has become a habit. A habit we do, and we do it even without thinking, without caring. That can be an indicator of a heart of stone. It's a heart that does not care about God's world. You care about other things. You care about your own life, and your own ambitions. But the least of your cares is that you understand, you believe, and you obey the word of God. That is what this parable means. It is calling you and me. Look at your heart. Do you find there a genuine concern, a genuine care to understand, to believe, to practice God's word? That, my beloved friends, I submit to you this morning, is what the parable of the sower is all about. It is this activity of Almighty God, where He is sending His word into this world, sending His message across the entire globe, and has it found room in your heart? Has it found an individual who is hungering for it? Who is thirsting for it, who is longing to know God? Or it has found a casual listener. A guy says, you know, when is going to be finished? I've got things to do on Sunday. Is there a genuine concern, a genuine care in your own heart this morning? A love, devotion to God's word. You love the Lord Jesus, longing to hear from Him, that He might speak to you, that He might correct you, His word might convict you and expose your sin, that by His grace might enable you to repent, amend your ways, and walk in the way of Christ. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the Jews heard the apostles preaching God's word in many languages, languages they didn't understand. Have you thought about it? Because if you read in 1 Corinthians and chapter 14, the apostle Paul, in trying to understand an aspect of that Pentecost phenomenon, he quotes from the prophets. He says the reason why God did that to the Jews, it was a way to show judgment to them. Because He had been speaking to them in Hebrew for centuries, and they were not concerned. And God says, okay, if you don't want to listen to my word, I'm going to speak to you in a language you do not understand. And that was Pentecost for you. God's word is being preached in a language they could not understand. Or you recall in, I think it is 2 Timothy in chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul talks about what's going to happen in the last days. men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. One of the things that the Apostle Paul warns us against is that there are people who are going to be ever learning, never coming to a knowledge of the truth. And what a solemn warning to all of us who are here this morning. Are we the kind of people who are ever learning from God's word? Ever hearing more and more from God's word, but have never really been transformed by the truths of the sovereign grace of God that those same truths preach about? My prayer for all of you who hear, that it might be true of you what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. May it be that God will grant you saving knowledge. He will grant you not only the wonderful and glorious message of the gospel, but may he be pleased to grant you a heart that truly embraces his word. And if you sense within your heart a casual approach to the things of Christ, that you would make it your business to plead with God, to cry to God, to grant you a heart that loves God, a heart that embraces his truth, a repentant heart, a believing heart, that God might give you true and saving knowledge of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May that blessing be yours in abundance, to the praise and glory of his majestic name. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, once again, we not only are grateful to you for your word, but we are grateful that your word speaks to us as we are. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will be present even in this hour to enable us to believe your word and to the salvation of our own souls. We look to you and we ask that may the glory be yours alone, as we recognize how utterly sinful we are, and how completely dependent upon the amazing grace of God we are. And may that grace abound even to the chief of sinners among us in this day. We ask that Jesus Christ will be glorified once again, because we ask in his name. Amen.